Turn your Bibles tonight to the book of St. Luke, chapter number 24, verse number 34. After all that's going on tonight, I wasn't sure what to do, but I feel like it's what God wants me to do. I see a special reason for it. And I pray that God will speak to hearts. God will have his way with your heart, your life tonight. Listen closely to the word of God. Let's stand, please. Luke 24, verse number 34. Saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you tonight, Lord, for your blessings upon us. And we have tried here tonight in song, in word, in actions to say thank you. And Father, realizing the fact that our effort seems so little and insignificant, but Lord, with all of our hearts, we do say thank you. I'm thankful, Lord, for the song they sang that when you see us, you see your darling son. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that we're hid in him, and in him we have life and have it more abundantly. And Father, thank you for the fact that our sins are covered by the blood. And we praise your name that we can come to you in Jesus' name, make our prayer unto you. And Father, you said you'd hear us if we would not regard iniquity in our hearts. And I pray you'd help all of us, Lord, examine ourselves and see ourselves like we are, and that we would confess sin where it needs to be confessed and give you glory and praise and honor and thanks that you have promised to forgive and to cleanse. I pray tonight for those that may be here unsaved. May the Holy Spirit speak to their heart, bring conviction, draw them to Jesus. And then those that are saved, all of us that are saved, we may see what you'd have us to do and see us. I thank you, Lord, for a living Savior. I praise your name tonight, God, for what you have done in the service, hearts you've touched, lives you've moved already upon in our own life, our own heart. I thank you, Lord, for the singing of the songs and praise you and give you glory. But right now, I pray for a few moments. Help me, God, forget about everything else and just preach for a few moments that would please you and bring glory to you and that you may take it. You said your word would not return void. It would accomplish that wherein that you send it. So I tonight submit myself into your hands and pray that you take the word of God, speak to all of our hearts, rebuke the devil, powers of evil, and give liberty tonight to preach, and we'll thank and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. I started preaching Sunday on the resurrection appearances, and I got two of them Sunday, and I'll have to say God blessed my heart. And Sunday night I got so excited preaching, I about got beyond myself and got home and laid down in the bed and grunted, but I'm glad, praise God, he gave me liberty to preach. Amen. I'm thankful for that. And I realize not every service is the same, but it's good when God comes by like that. I appreciate him. But we started talking about the resurrection of appearances, and we talked about the comfort there in the first message that we brought on Sunday morning about that comfort that he gives. And John Gospel, he was talking as Mary Magdalene was there weeping, and he talked to her, and why weepest thou? And he gave comfort, brought comfort. I don't care what your situation is, God can give you comfort and help. And there's folk in our family, church family, that needs help, needs comfort, needs that grace of God to abound to them. A living Savior is the one that can help Miss Galena and her family. Living Savior is the one that can be a comfort and a help. And not only in the time of death and sickness, but in time of turmoil in your life personally or home, God's the one who can bring some comfort and peace. Then we talked about the boldness, Matthew chapter 28, when he told them to go quickly and tell it. And I got carried away with that, saw things I'd never seen before. And I praise God for it. They ran. They got so excited about it. They was doing what they was told to do. And on the way, they met Jesus and had an encounter with him. I'm glad when you obeying him, there's some encounters to be had. And God will certainly show up somewhere to help you and give you that oomph that you need to go on. And these times you're trying to do what you think God wants you to do and what you know God wants you to do. And these difficulties come and something comes up, this, that, or other. But you're running at it, trying to get it done. And Jesus will show up and give you that encouragement. Boy, after they worshiped him, I believe they ran faster. I believe they went quicker and told him, he's alive. He's alive. Thank God he's alive. I'm glad we can tell it today. And I shared that Sunday night that we need to tell it. He's alive. And share the same gospel that they shared, we need to share. Now tonight, we're looking in Luke 24. And here, of course, the disciples had, some of them were walking and Jesus had come alongside of them and talked to them and they didn't realize it until they broke bread. But that's not what caught my attention. That's another time, another thing we'll talk about maybe sometime. But what I'm looking at tonight is verse number 34, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. Hath appeared to Simon. And I'll be honest with you, I've read this many, many times, and I never really paid a whole lot of attention to it, to be honest, about exactly what he's saying in that verse of scripture. The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. I call this in restoration, restoring. There's only two times in scripture that this encounter is mentioned. Only two times. Here in verse number 34 and 1 Corinthians 15 and 5. You remember in 1 Corinthians 15 and he began in verses 3 and 4 talking about the gospel. And he died according to the scriptures, buried, rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And then the next verse says, and that he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. He was seen of Cephas and then. The disciples, when Jesus walked in their midst and they saw him, the others, and these others that have seen him and all of that. But somewhere in here, Cephas, Simon Peter, had seen the risen, resurrected Lord Jesus and had an encounter with him that we absolutely know very little about. Scripturally, what I've told you already is all that we know about that. That he appeared to Cephas or to Simon or to Apostle Peter, whichever name you want to pick out and use there. But he appeared to him. And I got to thinking about that. Now, somewhere after the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus appeared to Simon Peter by himself. And there was an encounter, a conversation went on. Now, we know that Peter and Jesus had a conversation down by the seaside. And we know that there was other disciples there besides Peter. And Jesus was asking him, lovest thou me? And a lot of times we talk about that three times he did that. So the same three times that he denied the Lord Jesus, that he would confess that he loved the Lord Jesus. And of course, he's careful how he answered him in John 20 when he's talking about loving the Lord Jesus. He wasn't using that word agape, that God kind of love. He's using philo. God, man love, that kind of love. He was afraid to answer as, too boldly. He had learned his lesson. He had boldly said, I'll never deny thee, but he had denied the Lord Jesus. And so Peter was there talking with the Lord Jesus. Other disciples were there, and they were having a conversation, and Jesus asked him if he loves him. But before that time, Peter had had an encounter with the Lord Jesus by himself somewhere. And why? And the thought hit me. Why? Why is this mentioned here? And he hath appeared unto Simon. They were excited about it and brought the news back. And they said he hath appeared to Simon. And then when he's talking about the gospel and said he appeared to Cephas, why did he say that? Why did he mention that? I believe it's very important that we stop and just think about it. It may not be much said, but there's a whole lot inferred in that as we think about it, because the Apostle Peter had denied him and said, I do not know him. Now, God was going to use the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost. And you remember the story, he preached and 3,000 people got saved. And so God had great plans for him, and a leader in the early church. He'd already used him back when he asked who he was and who the men say that I am. And then Jesus said, whom but ye say that I am? And Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed that unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Simon Peter was a saved man. Simon Peter knew the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew who he was. He walked with him, talked with him, was with him. And when he said, I'll die with you, he meant that in the flesh. He in no way was being hypocritical. He meant that he'd do that. In fact, is in the garden, when they came to arrest Jesus, Peter took out his sword and cut a servant of the high priest's ear off. And I believe he meant to get his head. I really do, but I probably ducked or something. But anyway, got his ear. And I've often thought about that occasion. There's a little bit not said there that I'd really like to know more about. That was when Jesus picked the ear up and put it back on. I can't, for the life of me, understand how the rest of that crowd could see that and watch that and still arrest him and take him away. I don't know. You're talking about being blinded. They had to be blinded spiritually, totally. But Simon Peter had already been used. He was not a hypocrite. He did not mean to mess up. He didn't plan to mess up. He didn't mean to mess up. But Simon Peter had messed up. And he got out there, and the thing about it is, he got with the wrong crowd. And you young people hear me well tonight. He got with the wrong crowd. He sat down out there and warmed himself beside some folk that didn't know him. And he should have stood up for the Lord Jesus in that crowd, or either left the crowd and went on about his business and got away from there. But instead, he hung around because he wanted to see what was going to happen to Jesus. But at the same time, he was cowed down by a young lady that said, you're one of them, your speech betray you. And he said, I do not know him. And then he said again, I do not know him. And she went out on the porch, and somebody else came by and said, surely you are one of them. And he cursed and said, I do not know him. Now, this is the same great Apostle Peter that we read about on the day of Pentecost that was filled with the Holy Ghost and went out there and started preaching, and people started repenting and saying, sirs, what must we do? I mean, the same man that when it came time, tradition says, it's not in the Bible, but tradition has it, that the Simon Peter, when it came time for him to die a martyr's death, that he said he wasn't worthy to be crucified upright, but to turn him upside down and crucify him because he wasn't worthy to die like his Lord Jesus did. That's the same man we're talking about. But what made the difference in this man? What happened to him anyhow? We know Pentecost happened before the Holy Spirit came before he preached. We know that. Understand that. But there was something happened to him before that. There was something happened to him before he got to the seaside. There was something happened to him that was somewhere God hid that from us. I believe it was so together with Jesus Christ that he couldn't tell us about it. And Jesus wouldn't let him tell us about it. But they had an encounter somewhere, and the Bible said, now Peter had already repented, because the Bible said when Jesus looked at him, and all he did was look at him, and then Peter remembered the words that Jesus had said as Peter stood there somewhere where Jesus could see him, and he had denied him, the rooster had crowed, and Jesus glanced that way and looked at him, and Peter was on Jesus' mind even at that time. Even though he cursed, and even though he said, I don't know him, even though he did all that, he was still on the mind of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus looked at him, and the Bible said Peter went out and wept bitterly, and he repented. Amen. He went out, he realized what he'd done. He recognized the fact he'd failed God, and he went out and wept bitterly. I say to you, Peter had repented, and Peter wanted to get right with God. Peter wanted God to forgive him, and Peter needed to see the risen, resurrected Savior and talk to him. He didn't get to talk to him before they crucified him. He didn't get to speak with him and say, I'm sorry. That way he could talk to him in the spirit, but not physically, on one-on-one. And he already had messed up physically. He had messed up boastfully. He had messed up and all that. Now came time, and the resurrected Savior showed up in his life somewhere. Peter might have been out there somewhere behind a rock, behind some trees, out in a boonie something. He might have been out there somewhere by himself, still weeping, still crying, and saying, I betrayed him. I'm telling you something I'm thinking in my mind, but something like that, and maybe crying out to God, please help me know that I have been forgiven. And Jesus walked up. Hallelujah. And maybe Jesus walked up and touched him on the shoulder and said, Simon Peter, I'm here. I hear you. I saw you weep. I see your heart. I'm the resurrected Savior. I know you did it because you was weak in the flesh. I know you did it because you didn't deliberately plan out and go out there and betray me. But the weakness of your flesh, I want you to remember the weakness of your flesh. I want you to remember that you're a chosen vessel for me to preach the gospel. And you need my power. You need my presence. You need me to help you to do that. And I believe the Apostle Peter and Jesus Christ had a conversation there that you and I may never know about. But boy, something happened. Hallelujah. He said he appeared. I never had got a hold of that. I never noticed that to that degree, that Simon Peter, he'd been appeared to Simon already. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad when you fail God, you come short of the glory of God? Aren't you glad he shows up in your life and says, I'll help you? You ever been down when you failed God, really messed up? I mean messed up. And you just hadn't done what God said. And you may not have got drunk or committed adultery or something, but you know you messed up. Then you may have gotten drunk and you may have committed adultery, or you may have thought thoughts, or you may have done whatever it is that you're doing. But Jesus came by and you were crying to God to help you. And you may not have seen him literally, but you knew it was a resurrected Christ that was there. And he said, I forgive you. I forgive you. Hallelujah. I say, praise God. He's a forgiving God. Amen. You do not have to wallow in your sin. You do not have to wallow in self-pity and say, I failed. I'm a miserable failure. Thank God he doesn't throw the clay away. He loves you and cares for you and will pick you up and help you and brush you off and say, come on, I forgive you. Let's go and do something for God. Amen. I'm glad for that. I'm glad when we fail, God helps us tonight. And I'm going to be brief tonight, but I want you to get the message. He loves you. He wants to forgive you. If we confess our sin, he is just and able to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. For he's not entered into the tabernacle made with hands, but in heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us, I say hallelujah. Hebrews 9:24. Aren't you glad that he's standing there appearing for us? He said in 1 John 1:2, both he's talking about, chapter 2, verse 1, he said, my little children, I write unto you that you sin not. Don't sin. And if you do sin, he knows us. He said, if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father. An advocate is one that goes between, one that pleads a case, a lawyer, if you please. And he said, you have an advocate with the Father, even Christ Jesus, the righteous. He's a resurrected Savior. And what I'm trying to say you tonight is about the resurrected Savior is that he will restore the joy and he'll restore your ability to serve him and do for him what you ought to do. Now, there's some folk have messed up their lives so that they can't serve in certain positions, but they still can serve the Lord. Amen. God forgives. God will help them serve the Lord. Amen. I'm glad tonight I know that God forgives our sin and helps us. If he didn't, I'd be in a terrible mess, and you would be too. We'd all be somewhere not able to serve God, not able to do anything, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. Don't you know Simon was excited? He'd been weeping, repenting, and Jesus shows up and says, Simon, I'm alive, and I forgive you, and let's talk about this thing. You can't do it in the flesh. You got to have the me and the Spirit of God to work in your heart. Praise God. The more I think about that, the better it gets. I'm glad Jesus shows up. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, you know our hearts tonight, and you know who's here. You know who needs something from you. Lord, I pray for that person that needs forgiveness. They know their life is not where it needs to be. They know that they need something from God. They need the joy restored. They need help. I pray in this invitation the Holy Spirit would move in hearts. Then, Lord, somebody may be here tonight that just hasn't been doing what you want them to do, or somehow just stepped back a step. And I pray, God, you'd help them tonight to come. We've been singing about how we thank you and how we love you. Lord, help us tonight know that we're doing what you want us to do. Help us, God, to know you forgive and cleanse. Somebody here tonight that could not get in on the joy, they'll come and get right with God. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.